It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. Again, the breaking news of the hour, of course, is the pending announcement from Representative Chris Stewart, expected to announce within the next 24 hours that he will be stepping down, which, of course, will trigger a special election cycle. And I need to correct myself. I was wrong. Lindsey Ertz got it right in saying how this would actually play out, that each of the registered political parties would be able to put forward a candidate in that special election. And again, a lot of that gets triggered based on if the congressman steps down and if he gives a date in terms of when he would be vacating the chair, then that would trigger that whole process that the governor would set forth. So we'll continue to monitor and watch that. Thanks to Lindsey Ertz for her coverage as we continue to watch that one play out. In the meantime, of course, a lot of things happening over the weekend. President Biden and Speaker McCarthy came to an agreement to raise the debt ceiling. Now members of both parties are getting a rare opportunity, and it shouldn't be rare or radical. They're actually having a chance to read the bill before they have to vote on it. Leadership, of course, on both sides are whipping votes. Someone who's in the room where all of this is happening is Utah's own Representative Blake Moore, who joins us on the line. Representative, thanks for chiming in today.
Very excited to discuss this. It's something I've been working on a significant amount of time in the last several months. So, and I appreciate the coverage. You've talked about it before. It's an important topic.
Yeah. And so let's dig into it from your perspective, having a chance to get into it now and see what is actually in there. We've been talking about it in the context of Congress has been broken for a while. I think this is a chance to break it open and have a different kind of conversation about both the debt and deficit spending. Tell us what you're finding in the bill. What is it that you see as the positives? What are the things that are going to be a challenge in the days ahead?
Well, I think the overarching positive side of this is, you know, for me personally, I ran on a few key principles, and you keep them simple sometimes, right? And for me, it was make sure I'm there to support Hill Air Force Base. It's an important aspect. It's directly related to congressional work. Be a part of reversing debt culture, and of course, be an optimistic conservative voice for the next generation. So I keyed on those three things, and this will be the first time I get a chance to actually, you know, support a reversal of debt culture, right? And so all of the provisions in the bill, if you take a look at the big picture, there's so many different angles to this, but this is a reduction in spending overall. And this is going to be my first opportunity in Congress to be supportive of something that reverses debt culture. Because to this point, it's just been no votes.
Right.
And candidly, I've been in the minority party, and there's no real burden of governing when you're in the minority. It's probably one of the most simple things. You show up, you vote no, you complain about it. And I did a lot of that, right? There was a lot of spending bills, and I voted no against the vast majority of them. And, you know, I'm proud of those votes, and I stick by them because debt and deficit is something that's the most important thing to me. And this is something that turns the coin. And now that I'm in the majority, I get a chance to potentially support something. And that means a lot to me because I want to be active in this space and not just show up, vote no, complain, collect a government paycheck, and move on. Like that's just not something I want to do.
Yeah, and so let's dig into that just a little bit. As obviously we know that the far left and the far right flanks are going to be the challenge for both Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats in the minority, and Speaker McCarthy, of course, and the Republicans on the right. And as you look at that, and as you've been listening to some of your colleagues and hearing some of the loud rumblings and grumblings from the edges. And clearly, this is going to have to be a bipartisan bill. That was the way it was decided between the president and the speaker. As you look at that, what do you hear from kind of that problem solver to Blue Dog Democrat, to, you know, those on the right as well. What kind of coalition is forming? What are some of the conversations you're hearing?
Well, I think that some of the things to key on is when we started this several months ago, President Biden and his team made it very clear they did not want to negotiate. They wanted a clean debt ceiling, which means no concessions, no conditions whatsoever. They just wanted an increase in the debt ceiling. And we stood firm as an entire group of that we said, no, that's just not going to happen. And they tried to put pressure on it. They tried to delay as much as possible. So that was a big that was a significant win there. And then you saw several other things in here that were kind of hard lines for us. And, you know, it was we wanted to spend less than we spent last year. That's the first time the debt ceiling's ever been used in my understanding. Mm. There was, you know, 10 years ago, some sequestration that took place where we were able to successfully lower it a little bit. But I mean, this is historic in the fact that we're actually going to reduce spending year over year and put caps on it at very, very low rates. 1% cap. I mean, that's unheard of when inflation is what it's at. So there's some really good things. But what I'm hearing is, you know, many Democrats and leadership, they did not want to make any concessions. They just thought, let's raise the debt ceiling, let's move on. And folks on our side, that there are folks on our side that will never vote for a debt ceiling. And you know, they may have made a promise here or there, but they were willing to come to the table on the Limit, Save, Grow bill that we passed a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I actually commend them for it. So there's going to be Republican on Republican violence over the next few days, and it's going to go through a new cycle, and it's just going to, it's a reality. Some are out there saying, we didn't get enough. Well, the political reality is that Republicans have to win more elections if they want to get a stronger bill. And this nonsense of, you know, oh, what would you, should you, should, you know, all presidential candidates, what would you do? Would you veto this? I'm like, well, what do you mean, would you veto this? Like, no, if we had a Republican in the White House, we would have a better deal. If we had the Senate, we would have a better deal. But we don't have those two versions. And for us to get as much as we got by sticking together in the House, it's commendable. And I'm excited to kind of see that we can actually, you know, so not everybody's going to end up voting for it. And they're complaining that we didn't get enough because it wasn't the same bill we passed 3 weeks ago. That was never going to be signed into law. And everybody knows that. And anybody that says otherwise is being disingenuous. Mm. So you have to come down because this has to be signed by the president of the United States. And this is where McCarthy landed. And I appreciate him sticking up for those of us that are so focused on spending to be able to get some really significant wins. But it represents our political reality is you have to find a way to come together and make concessions on either side. And when I look at what we've got, this is a significant debt ceiling piece of legislation that we've got some significant wins.
Yeah, and I think that's an important component of this. The American people continue to choose to have divided government, and that creates space for the integrity of compromise. And I think that's what you're describing in terms of what's been negotiated, how that has worked, where you can have integrity in that whole process. I know there's going to be a vote on some of the rules component to all of this. And then, of course, that will really tee up a vote in the House tomorrow. I know you're heading back there for that vote as well. Anything in particular that you're watching that we should be watching over the next 24 hours?
No, I encourage folks to truly look into the actual outcomes from this bill. There's a reduction in discretionary spending. That hasn't happened in 10 years. We got permitting reform. Permitting reform is one of the most important aspects to energy projects, energy leases that go on, and being able to move that forward and use this leverage point to move it forward is a significant win. And that's related to NEPA. And, you know, we've been complaining about COVID, overspending in COVID. We're getting several, you know, I think approximately $28 billion back that we stood for to get that back. Is this going to solve our debt? No. Is this going to solve our deficit? No. Look, we have $200 extra billion that we're paying in interest just from last year alone. There are major, major problems with the budget. They're not going to be solved in one debt ceiling bill, but this is a step in the right direction. And I want to continue to use this momentum to go back and try to accomplish something that's so important to me.
Yeah, fantastic. Representative Blake Moore, of course, first congressional district here in the state of Utah, an important voice in a lot of these things as it relates to the spending that goes on in the country. Representative Moore, thanks for carving out time on a busy day, full agenda tomorrow as well. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Thank you, Boyd.
All right, we'll go ahead and step aside for one last break. We'll come back with some final thoughts. Stick around. Much more to come on Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. We'll be right back.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.